So today is obviously the day that we make a big fuss over the fact that all of these portal tombs and passage tombs line up with the rising sun, and we marvel at how clever our ancestors were to have achieved that. But we don't talk as much about who they were and what they did. Farming. And there have been leaps and bounds in our knowledge about that in recent years. Jessica Smith is an associate professor of prehistory in UCD who has done some very interesting research shedding light on who these people were.
I would describe it as the first farmers on this island, which is something that seems to happen kind of at the end of a longish process where farming technologies and practices are spreading across the continent of Europe. So roughly around 4000 BC, so around 6000 years ago, we see the first appearance of farming things and practices. And by things and practices, I mean stuff like pottery for the first time, evidence for domesticated animals, so cattle, sheep, goat, domesticated crops, wheat, barley, that sort of thing. All of those plants and animals didn't exist in the wild in Ireland. So that's a really important point.
So how big a statement or how much of an overstatement would it be for me to say that civilization followed, or at least the catalyst for it, was farming?
It's a pretty big statement. I suppose that in archaeology, we are moving away from those kind of unilinear models where, you know, everyone is just on this march towards civilization and sophistication. So hunter-gatherer communities that are on the island for thousands of years, possibly tens of thousands of years before farming appeared, are very sophisticated. They know their environment. They know their niches. They're perfectly able to live and thrive on the island. But yes, that said, there is something about farming products, I suppose. So cereals and things like milk and things like meat that bring something else into the equation.
About 5 years ago, there was a piece of research stemming from a bone fragment found at Newgrange, which painted a pretty dark picture of who these people were, that there was potentially an elite, a pharaoh-like elite, who were breeding amongst themselves, perhaps incestuously. You have done research since which does provide a slightly more wholesome image of who these people were.
Yes, I think context is the key thing here. So the finding is the finding. That's absolutely true. That bit of skull fragment came from an adult who was the product of what we call a first order union. So either sibling or parent child. So that's irrefutable. However, the context to it is much more challenging, much more nuanced. As you know, that fragment came from inside Newgrange, a monument that's been open for hundreds of years, and it's been fairly thoroughly messed about with and rifled. We actually don't have a lot of human bones surviving from the passage tomb. However, we know that other monuments, similar monuments that have survived more or less intact, we're talking about upwards of 100 people deposited in those monuments. So,
and not from the same families.
Exactly, yes. That's the other thing to really stress. That finding of incest is so far completely unique in Ireland or Britain. Okay. Nothing has happened. So it's far from being common or something that society practiced or bought into. It's a complete anomaly.
Rather than this picture of us being ruled by an inbred elite, it's probably much more the case that these sites, these tombs, were gathering points for large numbers of people to bring their dead.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that's what the context, the rest of the archaeological evidence is telling us. When we get deposits of human bones in these monuments, they're commingled, so they're all mixed up together. They're broken apart. A lot of them are burnt. So we do fairly complex things with the human body in Ireland in the Neolithic, and it doesn't seem to be focused on the individual like we would today. You know, we'd keep the body intact, we'd stick it in a grave, or we'd cremate it singly. It very much seems to be telling us that almost the individual identity of people in death wasn't important. It was about maybe joining the ancestors or joining a wider community.
Controversial statement. Do we credit these people with a little bit too much mathematical precision around the position of the sun on the 21st of June?
We do and we don't. I think it comes down to definition. So we have a very precise kind of Western scientific idea of what, you know, our language of astronomy and all these sorts of things that has developed over the past couple of hundred years. I firmly believe people in the past were hyper aware, even more aware of their environment than they are now. So in tune with all the weather patterns, the climates, the changing sun and moon. So I think that their way of appreciating that and capturing that is just different to what we do today. So maybe less on the hyper precision and more about kind of the wider experience.
So they were farmers. They were friendly and gregarious communities. They were trying to work out this whole death thing and how to absorb it. And they weren't necessarily the best mathematicians in the world.
Maybe. I think we don't give them enough credit for what they do because we've lost touch maybe with the ancient technologies. But they were amazing. Yeah, amazing people.
UCD prehistory professor Jessica Smith there.